Well, good to see everyone.
Hi.
I'm doing okay. Exciting time of the year. So, you know, most of our staff is here. So, obviously, you know, the whole league is here to kind of do a job. So, we're just trying to do our job, you know, as best we can. So, whoever wants to fire away, go ahead and fire away.
What have you seen so far?
Yeah, you know, this morning were the weigh-ins, so we were over there with the quarterbacks, the receivers, and the running backs. So the weigh-ins usually start about 7:30, and then on Saturday what will happen is about 9 o'clock or so is when the on-field workouts will actually begin. So we'll kind of shift gears, we'll come over, and then we'll watch the on-field components. So, I mean, the weigh-ins are great. You know, it's good to see some of the guys kind of in person. For myself, me personally, this is kind of the first time seeing a lot of these guys. So, and then once you go through the workouts, those usually take you through the afternoon about, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then there's a little bit of window until about 6 o'clock when you start to do the player interviews in the evening. And those will go through for however many you have scheduled, you know, from 6 all the way until 10:30, 11 o'clock, whatever that might be. So kind of get up the next day and do it all again. So
has your role changed at all this year? Is it you feel a little bit more comfortable doing what you're doing versus where you were at the same time last year?
Yeah, I think we were kind of going through a little bit of a transition last year, but in terms of the responsibilities in my job, I wouldn't say that it's that drastically different. A lot of the same things that I'm doing here, very similar to what I was doing last year, and I think that kind of goes for the whole our personnel department as well, you know, John Robinson and Jason as well. So we're kind of going through the process like we normally would. You know, so I wouldn't say there's been too drastic a change from year to year.
A little easier the second time around then, because you guys were figuring things out a little.
Sure. Yeah, I think everybody kind of knows their roles and responsibilities and what's expected of them when they're here. And we've got a great staff. I mean, we have a lot of guys that have been with us for quite some time, and they've been here, they've been to Indy a number of times, and, you know, we have a certain mindset and a goal what we're trying to get accomplished, and everybody's on the same page along those lines, so I think we're moving in the right direction.
I'm just curious, you've seen these guys for the first time in workouts, but when do you start studying this crop of senior, juniors?
Right, it probably begins really in the spring. You know, we go through and do kind of a spring book, if you will. So once this draft is over, like for example, whenever the draft is over at the end of the month in April, starting in May, we'll go through the senior prospects for the following year. So we go ahead and put together a comprehensive book of about, I don't know, there's probably 150 to 200 players who will be seniors, and based on the information that we get from the coaches about, okay, here are the A prospects, B prospects, from their perspective. And then we'll start to go through, and we'll actually write reports on those players during the spring, so it kind of gives us an overview of what to anticipate going into the fall, so that when you go to the school in the fall, like, you've actually watched these players, now you're just kind of studying them a little bit more closely. So it's kind of it's a year-round thing, really.
You know, some of the players at the Senior Bowl talked about, and you weren't there.
So, I was not, no.
But I'm sure that the interview style, I'm sure, is not by accident. Some of the players talked about that it was intense, it was sort of in your face, they were asked to draw plays, and, you know, really get in-depth stuff that a lot of other teams didn't get. Is that the goal for you guys, to put him on the spot and force him to do football?
Really, I think the most important thing is you're trying to, with any player, is get a feel for a number of different things. You know, their character, their makeup, their football intelligence, how they think. So our process is the process that works for us, and I think it's really something that we've been doing, you know, since I've been here. So you're trying to take all the information, and this is really the first opportunity that you actually have to talk to the players, because you go to the school in the fall and you can't do that.
Right,
so
right,
you get to the All-Star game. Now you've had information that you've gathered from coaches, school, administration, whomever it might be, but this is the first time that you can actually have a one-on-one face-to-face conversation. So our tactics and our process, I wouldn't say they're that drastically different than a lot of other clubs. I mean, you go into it with a mindset, okay, you're trying to accomplish certain things, and in the end, you're just trying to see the player and kind of get an idea of a lot of different things.
Nick, having said that, how relevant now is the combine? I mean, you're doing everything at that point, and by the time you get to the combine.
Right. It's the way we kind of look at it, if you evaluate the player over the course of the fall, let's say you watch 6 games, this is really kind of another game. It's another opportunity for them to be evaluated, just like the All-Star game, just like the combine. So I think sometimes a combine, there's a lot of emphasis that's put on it, but the reality is there's a lot of work that's been done prior to that. So this is kind of a culmination of things. You're kind of trying to put the finishing touches together based on the combine, but then even after the combine, you have the individual workouts, the pro days. So from March through April, there's still a little bit more work that needs to be done. But I would say, like, you know, by this time, you have a pretty good idea of who the players are, and really you're trying to earmark specific questions when you're here to see if you can get those answered.
Yeah. Going position by position, is there something or a particular group that stands out for you about this class? Is there a certain position that kind of makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit and say, wow, you know, I didn't know that this position was this deep? Or...
Yeah, I think really every year it really changes and evolves. I would say this year the safety group is a pretty deep group. I think those conversion players, the defensive ends / outside linebackers, I'd say that's a pretty deep group this year. There's a pretty good crop of tackles. So each year it kind of changes. So as you go through the fall, it starts to crystallize a little bit, and you have an idea, okay, there's a little more depth at this position relative to some others, just like it is every year.
What is offense or defense when you say
that? Well, I'd say the offensive line and the defensive line, I'd say it's a pretty deep group.
And on Wednesday we heard from Robert Kraft.
Right.
He said, you know, things are actually close, you know,
right,
with Wilfork. Since that time, you know, Casey Hampton agreed to a deal. Are you closer now, or has anything changed from when Robert Kraft made those remarks?
Sure, yeah, I know Mr. Kraft made those statements, and we put the statement out the other day. You know, I'm not going to really expound too much further. I would say the communication, you know, has been good. It's ongoing. I think we're just concerned about the Patriots. We're not necessarily concerned about what other clubs are doing. So I would say that process continues. To put a timetable on it, you know, that's really not for me to say, to say this is the end.
How about some of the other free agents, the Lee Bodens, Tully Vanta-Canes, Kevin Faulks? Can you make progress here at the combine and possibly closing something up with them?
Sure. I think you have really levels of communication with all your free agents. So you're at different stages. Obviously, all the agents are here. So I would say there's continuous communication amongst, you know, all parties, whether it's myself, whether it's Floyd. So, and that communication is ongoing. Obviously, once we get in free agency, then, you know, then it goes a little bit further. So I think you're always talking, you're always having discussions, and, you know, you're just trying to find, you know, what you feel is best for your club, and that's what we're going to do, just like we always do.
Specifically with any of those guys, do you have a feeling that you're close with, whether, you know, with Kevin, let's say?
I would say the communication is consistent. You know, I wouldn't want to put any sort of timetable on where we are in terms of the discussions.
As far as your own guy, as far as your own guys, would you like to, the guys you want to keep, would you like to settle that before March 5th, before, is that the deadline for your own guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's any particular deadline. I mean, obviously that day is kind of, okay, that's the first day of free agency, so I'd say you have discussions at different points. You know, whenever that is resolved, it's hard to say. You know, if you get to that point, great. If you don't, I think the lines of communication are open, and then that will continue. And, you know, we'll stay in touch with all the necessary parties.
I'm curious on the restricted free agents. It's such a huge crop of guys out there. You know, a couple of years ago, you made a play for West, and it worked out great, and you made a deal. Do you think that around the league, there will be more opportunity for guys to say, okay, what do you get tendered at? That might be a guy we can target. Is that going to play out? Is that an interesting kind of subject?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually that's something that we don't exactly know what that's going to be, because those tenders actually don't come out until March 5th. So it's hard for us to say, okay, you know, what we're going to do as it relates to some of those players. So I think once we get to March 5th, once we know what we're dealing with, then we can kind of investigate a little bit further, if it makes sense.
Is this a wholly unique offseason in that, you know, all those RFA tenders, you say, we have to wait and see,
right,
with the uncertainty of the CBA, is, you know, we have to wait and see in terms of, is this revolution, is this a much more difficult offseason for you guys?
I would say there's some different factors, but I think in terms of the process, in terms of player acquisition, the reality is it's not that much different. You have free agency, you have the draft, you have players who have been released, some vested veterans like the Damian Tomlinsons, mm-hmm, who have been released from their clubs, and then you also have another pool of players who may not have played in 2009,
who had played in 2008, you know, for example, the David Pattons, those types of players. So I think there's multiple avenues in terms of player acquisition. So I would say in terms of the process, Tom, it's really not that drastically different. Obviously, there's some things that we can't control as it relates to the CBA, and that's kind of out of our hands right now.
Can you talk a little bit about the acquisition of David Pattons and how that kind of came about?
Sure. You know, David was in camp with the Browns. He made it really all the way till the end, and I think he had some injury things that he was kind of dealing with, and they released him. David kept himself healthy. We kind of maintained some contact with him. It was more so towards the end of the year. And we brought him in, and we worked him out. We gave him a physical, and based on his performance just on the field, you saw a lot of things that you saw from David Patton. I mean, he was fast, he was quick. So, I mean, that decision was made, and I think, you know, obviously we've had a history with David Patton. I mean, he's a pro's pro, he's a veteran. It was a few years back. You know, I don't think we're living in the past or trying to go back to the past, but, you know, here's a guy who still shows a pretty competitive skill set, at least based on a workout and based on whenever he's played, whatever team he's been on, he's been productive. In 2008 or 2007, I think, when he was with the Saints, he caught 54 balls. So, you know, David, he's a great, you know, he's been great for us. He's great off the field. He has an unquestionable work ethic. So we want competitive, tough-minded, hungry football players looking for an opportunity. And I think David Patton kind of falls into that category. So, you know, we're happy to have David. He has to come and earn his role on the team. And, you know, here's an opportunity for him, whatever he makes of it. That's entirely up to him. But, you know, we're certainly happy to have him.
Yeah, there was so much conversation about leadership last year and the lack or the void that was there. Is that something you guys are trying to look at this offseason and ask guys to step up who might have leadership qualities but hadn't grabbed the reins, whether it be importing guys in the draft or whatever?
Right. I think, you know, I think we were happy with the leadership that we had in the club last year, no question about it. You know, I think David has a certain presence about him, so whatever he brings to the table, it certainly can't hurt.
Yeah, you know, Bill made a comment last year at the draft about those edge rushers. You were talking about the conversions.
Right.
There's only so many 6'4 guys that run a 4'6. But we've seen some guys that maybe don't fit that mold, James Harrison, Elvis Dumervil. Bill.
Right.
Do you need to tweak that ideal at some point and see about, you know, Brandon Graham production over mold?
You know, I think that's an interesting point because the reality is that pool of players, the 6'4", 260-pound guys that run 4'6", show me who those guys are. I mean, there's not many of them. So you're looking at a number of different qualities. You're trying to identify, okay, here's their skill set, here's what they do well, and then you have to look at, okay, how are they going to fit with what you do defensively and schematically. So some of the small, like, for example, I think Dumervil is a great example. You're talking about a 5'11", 260-pound guy who maybe is not the prototypical outside linebacker type, but he can rush the passer, and he was productive in college, and that production has translated over into the NFL. And if you look at a player like Dumervil, he's got good quickness. He might not be the fastest guy, but he's got good playing strength. He has really good leverage, and he uses that to his advantage. So, I mean, there's different ways to skin a cat. You know, you're looking for this ideal. The reality is sometimes that ideal is hard to find. So you maybe have to look at that player and say, okay, here's what they do well. And then once you've identified that, then try to fit it into your system. And then, okay, here's how we're going to use him in order to maximize his skill set.
Is that becoming more challenging now? It seems like more teams in the 3-4, even, you know, Josh and Eric.
It looks like half the league is going to employ some 3-4 type of configuration. But it kind of evolves. I mean, there's 3-4 teams, you know, where they don't really play with a zero technique. It's a one technique, and they reduce the backside. So, and then that defensive end is really not outside linebacker. It's a defensive end. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do with the front. And it is becoming more challenging because there's more teams that are essentially looking at the same pool of players. So it kind of limits, you know, your opportunities because you realize you're competing really with the rest of the league on that front.
On a different topic, Dallas Thomas situation, we've spent so much time on that. I think a lot of us have assumed that his release is a foregone conclusion. Is it possible he still has a role with the team next year, or is March 5th going to be, you think, the last time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dallas is under contract. He's on the team, you know. He, when he was on the field, he was productive when he played. So we'll make the decisions in the end that we feel are best for the club, and whenever that is, then that'll be, you know, that's what we'll do.
Nick, when you're looking at it, and I know as a personnel department, you don't just look at the next year. You try to set yourself up for the future too. How do you plan for such an uncertain future where you don't know what the conditions are going to be like in 11 or 12 or 13?
Right. You do the best you can. I think you sort of have to have a, you know, you have to worry about the 2010 season, and that's kind of why everybody's here, you know, getting ready for the draft. So you prepare for that. As far as what happens beyond that, I mean, it's out of our hands. It's out of our control. So you kind of deal in the present, and then once whatever resolution is reached, once we know what the rules are, then we'll proceed accordingly. So there's a delicate balance between the two, but I think the most important thing right now is to try to get ready, to go through the offseason, get ready for the draft, and then get ready for the 2010 season.
I think maybe this notion's been shot down a little bit. There was a perception a year or 2 years ago that some teams were going to go hog wild and spend. And now coming back, you hear more teams saying, well, we're worried that there's going to be a cap again in 11, and we have to set ourselves up financially for that possibility so we don't mortgage our future. Are you guys playing like that financially, too, that for the possibility that, you know, the cap could be back in 11, and so you can't just act like it's never going to be there again?
Right. I think, you know, just kind of alluding to the answer I had a little bit earlier, in terms of our process, I mean, we go through the same process this year as if we did in years past. So we're, you know, we have a budget in place like we do every year. I mean, that hasn't really changed for us in terms of what we do, in terms of spending, player acquisition. So that really hasn't changed. So as far as what the situation is moving forward, I mean, and I don't have a crystal ball, you don't have a crystal ball, so it's, we're operating under, you know, the terms that we have in place, and that haven't really changed all that much since I've been here.
Nick, there's some years, obviously, there are more trades than other years in the first round, teams either moving up or down.
Right.
And I think in recent years, you guys have moved down a little bit more than you've moved up, but you have four of the top 53 picks in this year's draft. Any temptation to maybe move up a little bit more?
I think it's hard to say that right now, because really you have to go through the process. You set your draft board, and then you're kind of, as a draft takes place, you're kind of looking at that pool of players. And then, you know, if you feel there's an opportunity at some point, whether it's higher or lower, to get that player, then you'll try to make the move accordingly. So, I mean, you know, we're kind of in a similar situation, really. We had the picks last year, and you know, we ended up picking in the second round and moved out of the first round. So I wouldn't say that there's a definitive formula like, okay, this year we're going to do this, next year we're going to do that. I think you sort of let that unfold. And there's a lot of, you know, it's draft day is kind of funny, because there's a lot of things that you don't really anticipate that are going to happen. You might get a phone call, and then you start to think about it and say, well, you know, that makes sense for the club, and then you consider it. So really, until you get to that point, it's hard to sort of to pinpoint what the mindset is.
Do you think about it more when you have more picks available, like already, instead of just having just one first round or one second round, and now you have four
right
in those top two?
Yeah,
do you think about it more?
I wouldn't say the draft strategy has altered that drastically. I mean, you have a few more picks, great, but in terms of the actual strategy and the process, I wouldn't really say that's a lot different.
Will that be altered by the change in the schedule this year, the round one, the day two, and day three?
Yeah, this is the first year. It'll be an interesting dynamic, because you get through round one, and, okay, we're going to take a breath. I think what it really enabled teams to do is, okay, you've gone through the first round, there's been 32 players that are picked, then you can look at the board and say, okay, here are the players that we like, and, you know, okay, we're going to day two, so then you're dealing with the second and third round. And then you got to hit the pause button again and kind of take another look and say, okay, who's left? And then you go through the next day. So this will be interesting. I mean, how it all, it breaks it up. But, I mean, every team will have a plan in place. I'm sure we'll have a plan in place. But it gives you more time to think. And there's a lot longer nights after the draft, because you're sitting back up there going through the players once again for the next day.
Have you determined internally the tenders for your restricted guys? And if so, you know, could you pass it on what the info is on Mankin and Gustowski?
Right, yeah, we actually haven't talked about that yet, Mike. I'm sure by Friday, you know, we'll have that in place. But as far as right now, I really couldn't comment on that.
And as for you personally, we saw you on the field quite a bit coaching last year.
Right.
Do you expect that to continue in 2010?
That's a good question. You know, I think the offensive staff that's in place is a great staff. There's a lot of great coaches that are here that have been with us. I think right now my focus is on the draft and getting ready for that, and that's why we're all here. So as far as what happens once the season rolls around, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy with my job and my role, and whatever that is moving forward, then I'll certainly oblige and do the best I can.
You know, there was some eyebrows raised when Bill said he wouldn't have coordinators among us at least. And then, you know, talk to some of the people here who know them, and they go, players kind of know who's in charge. What was your reaction, and were you
Is that something that you guys were wary about? With, you know, it sounds weird. I mean, it does. I mean, not having coordinators.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Bill made a statement a couple weeks ago, just, you know, just to kind of answer some questions about that. But like I said, everybody, at least on the offensive staff, because obviously my involvement is a little bit more with them, but everybody understands their role. Everybody has a job to do. And right now they're going through the process of evaluating the team from last year and kind of, okay, here's what we did well, here's what we didn't do well. There's great communication. You know, everybody gets along well, and everybody understands what their, you know, what their expectation is. So, you know, like I said, the staff is, you know, you got a lot of experience on that staff, whether it's with Dante. Ivan's been around since Bill has been here. You know, Billy O'Brien's been here for 3 years now. We brought Chad in. He's new, you know, he was new to the staff. Brian Ferentz has been here for a few years. So we got a lot of experience on that staff. So, and everybody's comfortable working with one another. So, you know, I think we're happy with the situation as it exists.
Nick, there's been some reports about Les Walker's progress. Are you anticipating that he would be available?
Yeah, I think Wes is going through the rehab process right now, and I'm sure he's going to do the best he can to get himself ready. Whenever that is, that's up to the doctors to decide, and they'll let us know when that will be. So, but I mean, everybody knows that Wes will do everything in his power to get back on the field whenever that might be.
What's your take on the receiver position as a whole on the team with Randy entering his last year, Wes's injury, age, whatever? I don't know, how does it shape up for you?
Right, yeah, you know, I think, you know, if you look at Randy, I mean, if you look at the time he's been here, he's one of the most productive in the league, one of the most productive receivers in the league over the past 3 years. So, I mean, he's a great player, and he's certainly been an asset to this offense. You know, Wes, I mean, his body of work speaks for itself. I think Edelman, you know, was a pleasant surprise for us last year, and really it's a tribute to him and the work that, you know, Chad and Billy did with Julian. I mean, here's a guy who never played the position before, but he got up to speed pretty quickly, and when he was out in the field, he produced, I think, 43 catches. You know, he had 43 receptions, and relative to the number of plays he got on the field, I mean, he had a significant amount of production. So, you know, we feel good about Julian, and hopefully he continued to improve. I mean, he's got a lot to learn. I think Sam, when he was on the field, he produced when he was on the field. And, you know, Brandon is kind of the unknown right now, Tate. We're excited about him. You know, he's going through the off-season process right now, trying to get himself healthy. You know, then we add David Patton to the group. So I think it's a good group. You know, where are we, you know, once the season rolls around? It's hard to tell, but I think where the group is right now, I think you got a lot of guys who've been productive at different levels of experience, and, you know, we're excited about, you know, what the opportunities are moving forward.
Is Brandon going to be able to take part in some passing camps?
That's a good question, Tom. I really don't know. It's just a matter of how well his rehab goes. Yeah. So.
Is receiver as much of a boom or bust position as there is in the draft? Seems like some guys either do exceptionally well or just don't.
It's hard. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. Actually, we were just going through doing a draft study, and that's the one position where there's a lot of variation in terms of where the production comes. Most, you know, you have some at the top end, there's some in the middle, guys like Austin Colley last year, you know, who were really productive. So I think the thing with the receiver position is, even though the college game is very pass-oriented, there's a lot of other components that come into play in the NFL, and there's a lot of things that some of these receivers haven't seen before. And there's a lot of receivers, I mean, the corners from me to that pole over there, they just run a route, and they don't have to deal with press coverage. So there's an element of that. Okay, how do they deal with press coverage? Okay, there's route adjustments. I mean, you know, for example, there's one particular route that can be run four or five different ways based on what the coverage is, and you sort of have to read the coverage on the fly. So those are things as a receiver, I mean, there's a lot to think and comprehend, you know, and then you get into some of the blitz adjustments, some of the side adjustments. So, I mean, there's a lot for that player, and, you know, that's where the mental component comes into play. So it's a different animal. So that's why I would say, you know, some are maybe a little more productive than others. You know, a lot of it is based on their offense that they played and the offense that they're going into. You know, our offense may be different. It's different from someone else's offense. So it's a hard position, but I think there's really a lot that goes into that particular spot.
Nick, you talked about breaking prototypes, and obviously the spread offense in the college game makes it more difficult for some teams. Does it make it harder to scout defensive front seven players? Because, like you said, maybe the defensive ends are shorter, linebackers are smaller, and maybe you have to project some more.
I'd say it really doesn't. In the end, you're evaluating that player's skill set, whether it's a defensive end or whether it's a defensive tackle. You're looking at his physical attributes, and, okay, here's what he does well, here's what he doesn't do as well. So, I'd say there's maybe less because of the spread. I mean, sometimes you get three or four feet splits, you know, and then it goes back to the offensive side of the ball where you see all the offensive linemen are always pass protect. Okay, so how good of a run blocker are they going to be? So maybe you got to spend a little bit more time studying that player or spend a little more time in an individual period on a one-on-one workout to see whether or not that skill set's going to translate over. So, I mean, the college game has certainly evolved, but, you know, if you look at the NFL, you know, a lot of the offenses aren't shaped that way. So in the end, you're evaluating the player's skills at their particular spot and what they do well, and then you try to project how that's going to fit into what you do or what other teams do.
Is that why you see the shorter defensive ends? Is that because they don't have to do as much against the run in college anymore and you're looking more for strict?
It's probably, you know, the best spot for that particular player on the defense. Yeah. I mean, you have a choice. You play him down, you play him up, you play him inside, you play him outside. Okay, you want a 260-pound guy working against a tackle, or is it better off inside? So, I mean, that's up to the coaches and the college coaches to deploy the players how they see fit. You know, our job is to take, like, those defensive ends and then figure out, okay, is he a defensive end? Is he an outside linebacker? Is he an off-the-line player? Is he an on-the-line player? So, I mean, I would say that position is hard to evaluate because you never see them really play with their hand off the ground. Their hand's always on the ground, and he's just storming up the field.
As you evaluate the running backs, is there a differentiation between a 225-pound guy whose upside might be, you know, 25 carries a game and the smaller guy that, you know, is a big play guy but might only give you 10, 15
right
plays a game?
Yeah, I think really you're looking at their production. I mean, how productive are they with the carries that they're provided? I mean, there's different, if you look at the league, I mean, there's different types of backs. You know, you have the 220-pound backs like the Matt Fortes who've been productive. Then you have the Leon Washingtons who are a little bit smaller, and they certainly have a niche. And, I mean, there's probably not a more productive guy when he's on the field than Leon Washington. So, in the end, it's what they do with the ball in their hands, how productive they are. Even a smaller guy, he might be small, but he might run with good strength and good power versus a 225-pound guy. Maybe he runs, doesn't run with as much power as you think he is, but he's a better perimeter runner. So, I mean, you look at their running style, and in the end, you just look at their production and what they do with the ball in their hands, and then you just try to figure out how that fits with what you do.
But do the number of plays, I guess, you know, seeing a guy who could be a feature back and give you 20, 25 touches versus 10 great touches.
Yeah, I mean,
the value?
Not necessarily, because I think even those smaller back, even a, you know, 5'8", 200-pound back, he might carry the ball 20, 25 times a game and hold up just fine. So, I mean, I think it all depends on the player.
What do you think of the tight end position yesterday? Specifically, the guys at the top, a little aggression.
Right.
And Pitta.
Right. I actually didn't get to see him weigh
in,
but yeah, I missed that. But in talking to some of our guys, they said it was a pretty impressive looking group. And I think that's one position relative to last year that there's more depth throughout. You know, last year Pettigrew was, you know, he was at the top of the heap. He went in the first round, and there were some other guys. You know, Sean Nelson was drafted in the fourth round, I think. Had a little bit of production. The kid from Rice, who the Texans
Casey.
Took, yeah, Casey, James Casey. He went in the fifth round, so. It looks like it's a pretty solid group. It's a very productive group.
Yeah.
I mean, Gresham was productive. Pitta was productive. Moyaki was productive.
Gronkowski
missed the year.
Yeah,
but if you go back to 08, I mean, he had a huge year. Fernandez from Florida was productive. So there's been a lot of production in the group. I mean, they're all kind of different. But I would say that's one particular position that there's quite a bit of depth relative to last year.
And you, when they have that production, you guys have always cited whether it was running backs, safeties, whoever. We like to see the numbers in college at a high level. And so that would argue for some of these guys, I think, that you know that they can play the position.
Right, and you hope that that production translates over. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, you know, and you just hope that you figure out why it does and that you don't end up why it didn't. So, and all those players, you know, Grisham's played in a pretty wide open offense. Gronkowski's played in the spread offense. Hernandez has played in the spread offense. So that's one position in particular, too. Even, you know, we talked about the defensive line, like the tight end position with some of these spread teams.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of these guys aren't really blocking that much. I mean, there's bits and pieces where you see it. They're pretty involved in the passing game. So you sort of have to weigh, okay, how good of a blocker is he going to be relative to his production in the passing game, which you can actually see.
Right.
Well, Nick, given the fact that some of the top tight ends were injured and missed a lot of time, and you have to go back and look at production from a year or two ago, and a lot of the wide receivers are guys who are coming out early and don't have a huge track record behind them. What they have is impressive. Is this year more of a leap of faith at those two positions than maybe in other years it would be?
I think any time you have a player who misses a full season, you know, you really have to go back, do your homework, and just make sure that... And I think the reality is, too, is, especially over a two-year period, whether it's 2008 to 2009, like, the reality of that player changing all that much probably isn't that significant. And what you see in 08 is probably what you would have seen in 2009. Now, I would say the majority of the time that's the case. Sometimes it's not. So... So hopefully, you know, the biggest thing is the health component. Like, that's the X factor. You know, how healthy is he going to be, and how is that actually going to affect his performance? So I would say from that perspective, that's tough because you're going off of, okay, here's what he did in 2008. Now he missed a year, hasn't been healthy. Okay, but that's when, you know, you get into the what the doctors, their analysis, and you take that information and then put that together, and then it factors into your decision. So.
And with the young... Sure. And with the young wide receivers, is there not a whole lot more they could learn if they had stayed in school that extra year and make the jump to the NFL as opposed to doing it the way they
I think it depends on the offense, you know, and what they're going to be asked to do. So, I mean, it depends. I mean, it all, you know, should they have stayed another year or would they have benefited from staying another year? Ultimately, they have to make, you know, they got to make that decision what's best for themselves. So.
So who are you going to pick?
I wish I knew.